Okay, good morning. Thank you for coming on a Thanksgiving day. Today happens to be the first day of Chanukah, so I figured it would be appropriate to talk about something which relates to Golus and Geula, the exile and the redemption. What we're going to discuss today, Mi'at Hashem, is going to deal with all four exiles and Geulas. We should have a better understanding of what the dynamic of each galus is, why we were in each galus. We mentioned it, I believe, the last time we were here, we discussed it. And I think we should get a better understanding and an appreciation. If we really understand what the galus is all about, hopefully we'll discover today a way to get out of the galus. I mean, what's the fundamental yisoid for the geula? And hopefully at the end of this year, perhaps we'll even discover who we really are, our own identities, based on this year. Just give me time. It's going to take time to process and develop. Everything I'm saying today basically is from Chazal, Kadmoinim, Maral, Bir Agra, Sfasemes. And all I did is basically is compile the sources and the information together. Much of the drushes of Chazal for today's shiur, actually they come from psukim of the Haftiris of these few weeks, starting from Vayishlach through next week, through Vayigash. Those few weeks of Haftiris, Vayishlach, Vayish, Mikes, Vayigash, those few weeks of Haftiris really is the base of this shiur. And hopefully we'll develop it as we go along. If people have questions, please feel free to ask, but let's try to focus on the shiur itself. There's a lot of information and we're pressed for time. I'm going to try to pack it in. To start off, there's a well-known Gemara in Yuma, Daf Tes Amud Beis. The Gemara says that during the first Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael did three Averis. They did Gilui Arayis, that is adultery, immorality, Shfichas Damim, murder, and Avodah Zarah, idolatry. They had three Averis, cardinal sins that they did in the first Beis HaMikdash. In the second Beis HaMikdash, there was Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred, they didn't get along with each other. Those were the four sins, the four Averis that Klal Yisrael did. Gilui Arayis, Shfichas Damim, Avodah Zarah, and in the second Beis HaMikdash, it was Sinas Chinam. The Maral, the Sfasemes, the Goyin, they explain that these four Averis, these four sins, were actually the cause of the four Galias. The reason why we have four exiles were because of these four Averis. Each exile was for a specific Avera that they did. For example, we know that there are four exiles. There's Bavel, Babylonia, right? Bavel. There was Modai. That was the times of the Megillah, Esther. There was Yavon, which is the time of Hanukkah. And it's right now, we're unfortunately amidst a long and bitter Golus Edom. So there's four, Bavel, Modai, Yavin, and Edom. And each one correlates to an Avera. Bavel was against the Avera of Avodah Zarah. Melech Bavel, he erected a Avodah Zarah in Bikas Dura. And that was part of the Golus, it was the nature of the Golus, so that Bavel was against Avodah Zarah. The second Golus is Modai, which was against murder. And that was the Gzeira, the decree of Modai, of Achashverosh and Haman, was to kill out Klal Yisrael. We performed the Avera of murder, so therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, in kind, our Gzeira against us was Lahashmet V'Lara Golabeb, to kill out the Yidden. The third Avera was Gilui Arayis, immorality, and that was the Golus Yavin. Golus Yavin, the one that was the time of Hanukkah, was against Gilui Arayis. Now, Vada, there were other Gzeiris amidst each Golus. Each Golus wasn't just Avodah Zarah and just Shfichas Damim and just Gilui Arayis. They had other things involved as well. But primarily, Yavin was for Gilui Arayis, for immorality. One of the decrees that they had, Rashi brings down, includes the decree that every girl, as she entered her chasana under the chuppah, boyel lehegman tchila, the governor of the town, lived with her first. It was a moral type of a situation. There was another gzeira which is less known. The Medrash brings down that there was a gzeira that first they prohibited any woman from going to the mikveh. And any woman who was caught going to the mikveh, whoever caught her, had a right to take her for a wife. They had numerous gzeiras relating to Gilui Arayos. In fact, the forefather of Yavan, which was Moikdon, the forefather of Yavan, he himself was a mamzer, the Medrash says. So that was the nature of Galus Yavan. I'm going into it a little more because it's Hanukkah, so I just give you a nature of it. But Yavan is against Gilui Arayos. And finally, this Galus Edom, is for Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. That was the Aver we did, and therefore we're subjected, unfortunately, to the Galus of Edom. And everyone knows, Chazal say, Amram Shim ben Yechoi, it's Alochi, we just learned that Rashi brings it down a few weeks ago. It's Alochi, B'yadua, She'esav, Seineas Yaakov. Esav hates Yaakov. Doesn't make, there's no reason. Just that, the nature of Esav is to hate Yaakov. We did Sinas Chinam, so therefore we're subject to a Golis that our whole surrounding is constant Sinas Chinam. Sinas of Yehudim, anti-Semitism is abound. That's Golis Edim. So now we have four Averis against four Golis. That's just the basic. Now let's develop this a little bit. The problem is that the Zohar HaKadosh brings down that the fourth Golis that we're in right now is actually for Bittul Torah. Because we didn't learn Torah properly, we don't apply ourselves to learning properly, we don't learn enough time, either it's time or an application. It's Bittul Torah. And that's the nature of this Golis. Golis Edom is because of Bittul Torah. It means the first three Golis, it's fine. That could be because of Avodah Zarah, Shrikas Damim, and Gilui Arayos. But this fourth Golis is because of Bittul Torah. And the question, obvious question is that, what do you mean? The Gemara in Yuma just says otherwise. The Gemara in Yuma says it's because of Sinas Chinam. So how did the two work out? How did the two shtim? How do we have that it's for Bittul Torah, like the Zohar says, and it's for Sinas Chinam, like the Gemara in Yuma say? And the truth be told is, and this is a very fundamental thought, is that really both are true. It's both for Bittul Torah and for Sinas Chinam, but it relates to different segments of Klal Yisrael. It's very important. Klal Yisrael, throughout history, had two segments, Yehuda and Yisrael. We all know that there were 12 Shvatim, and Yehuda lived adjacent to Binyamin, and Binyamin sort of was part of the Chelek called Yehuda. So there's a segment of Klal Yisrael called Yehuda. And then there's a segment of Klal Yisrael which is called Yisrael, which it comprises of all the other 10 Shvatim. Most notably is Yosef. Yosef HaTzadik, that Shevet, was the ruler, the heads, the Malachim, as we know, were also the dynasties of the kingdoms were split into two, the Malchi Yehuda and Malchi Yisrael. There was the Malachim of Yehuda, like we said, Beis David, and then there were the Malachim, the kings that came from Yisrael. There were two camps, there were two segments of Klal Yisrael. And they didn't even live next to each other. They both lived in Eretz Yisrael, but Yehuda and Binyamin were together, and the other 10 Shvatim were together. There was, let's just call it, there was a degree of sin between the two sides, but there were two separate segments of Klal Yisrael. And the Pasuk says, in Amos, in Perek Beis, Pasuk Dalet, Koyam HaShem, Al Shloisha Pishay Yehuda, for the three Pishayim of Yehuda, for the three sins that Yehuda did, but for the fourth sin, I will not forgive Yehuda. What is that fourth sin? Amasam es Torah Hashem, because they despised Torah Hashem, because they did the sin of Bittul Torah. Yehuda's had the three sins, the Mefarshim say, were the three cardinal sins of Gilui Arayos, Shrikas Damim, and Avodah Zarah. But that fourth sin was because Amasam as Torah Hashem, because they despised Torah Hashem, Bittul Torah. Two psukim later, by the way, this is in Haftarah of Parshas Vayeshev, next week's Haftarah. Two psukim later, the pasuk continues and says, Koyam HaHashem, al shloisha pisha Yisrael, for the three sins of Yisrael. Now we're talking about the segment of Yisrael. which were, again, the three cardinal averes, Gila, Rai, Shviga, Dama, Aveda, Zara. But the fourth one is, Valabo, Loya, Shivena, I will not be Moichel, Klai, Yisrael, for that fourth avera. What was that? Al Michram, Bekesev, Tzadik, because they sold a Tzadik with, for money. The Evyon, Barvu, Nalaim, they sold an Evyon, a poor person, Barvu, Nalaim, because of shoes. The Chazal say, what is it referring to? This is referring to the Mechiris Yosef HaTzadik. That they sold Yosef HaTzadik for shoes, like the Medrash says. That was the fourth aver that Klal Yisrael did. Many Mefarshim say that the root of Sinas Chinam in Klal Yisrael throughout the ages came from the sale of Yosef. When the brothers ganged up and sold Yosef, that was the Shayrish, that was the root of all Sinas Chinam to come. So basically, the Pasuk is saying that for Yisrael, they did the three cardinal averes, but the fourth one was because of Sinas Chinam. So here we have Yehud and Yisrael both did four averes. The first three are the same, Gila, Rai, Shvika, Dama, Aveda Zara. But the fourth avera, there was a distinction between the two. Yehuda did Bittul Torah, and Yisrael did Sinas Chinam. So now, we want to reconcile how the Zoyas works with the Gemara. It's simple. Both are true, but it's going on two different segments of Klal Yisrael. On the segment of Yehuda, that's because of Bittul Torah. That's like the Zohar says. And the segment of Yisrael, for the Ten Shratim, which was headed by Yosef, for the segment of Yisrael, that was because of Sinas Chinam. And that's like the Gemara in Yuma says. So here we have one Klal Yisrael, but two parts. There are two distinct segments of Klal Yisrael, and in that fourth Golus of Edom, there's a distinction between Yehuda and Yisrael. Yehuda is because of Bittul Torah, and Yisrael is because of Sinas Chinam. The Gemara in Sanhedrin, I believe it was put down in the Maamar Kaimis, on Daf Tzadiches Amid Beis, the Talmidim, the students of Rebbe Elazar, asked Rebbe Elazar, Mayasa Adam, what should a person do, v'yinotzel, that he should be saved, mechevlu shel Mashiach, from the pangs of Mashiach, from the troubles that are going to come at the time that Mashiach comes? How could a person save himself from the dangers and the tragedies that are going to be at the times of Mashiach? And the Gemara says, Yasik b'teira u'gemilus chas Adam. A person should be Isaac, he should be preoccupied, he should be Isaac in Teira and gemilus chas Adam. Famous Maimar Chazal. And Kipshutai, what does Chazal mean? Simple on the surface. Chazal are trying to say that apparently there's a special power, there's a special skula that is for Torah and Gemilas Chasadim. If a person learns Torah and if a person does acts of kindness, of chesed, those two mitzvahs, unlike all other mitzvahs, those two mitzvahs are very special and could save a person from the times of troubles. There's actually Gemara in Saita. The Gemara says that Torah is special, that Torah has the power to protect a person. So, Kipshuta, you learn the Gemara. Yes, so Torah has a power of protection. And now the Gemara is introducing another concept, Gemilas Chasadim, acts of kindness. Apparently acts of kindness also have a power of protection. That's what we learn the Gemara Kipshuta. But on a deeper meaning, what the Gemara is really alluding to is that, why are we in Golus, in this fourth Golus? Because of Bittul Torah, and because of Sinas Chinam. So if you want to protect yourself from the pains and the troubles of this fourth Golus, which is concentrated at the end, right before Mashiach comes, if you want to save yourself, you have to be misaking those Chataim. You have to fix those Chataim. How? By being Isaac in Torah. That's fixing the chet of Bittul Torah. And by being Isaac in Gemilas Chasadim, by being Isaac in acts of kindness, that fixes the chet of Sinas Chinam. So really what the Gemara is revealing to you, what really is the source of the troubles of this fourth Golus, that's Bittul Torah and Sinas Chinam. So to rectify that, you need to be Isaac with Torah and to be Isaac in Gemilas Chasadim. The Medrash in Tehillim says that in these four Golias, actually each Golias was comprised of two nations. So as we know, and we say that there are four Golias of Bavel, Madai, Yavan, and Edom, there's actually eight nations that comprises those four Golias. Each Golias is comprised of two nations. The first is Bavel together with Kazdim, as it's Mefush in the Psukim, that Bavel ganged up together, they worked together with Kazdim. The second Golis was Paras Umadai. We refer to it as Madai, but yes, the Psukim keep on saying that it was Paras Umadai. Paras, Persia, together with Madai, with Media, together they were comprised the second Golis. The third Golis, we refer to it as Yavan, but the Medrash says it was really Maikdon together with Yavan. Maikdon was the forefather of Yavan. They lived like 150, 200 years before Yavan. Mor refers to the Tzaris that happened from Maikdon. There was Shimon HaTzadik who had to save Klal Yisrael from Maikdon, from the decrees. There was a famous story that he went out with his Bigdei Kahuna, he was a Kohen Gadol, and he went out with his garments, and he saved Klal Yisrael. And then the fourth Golis that we're in today is Edom together with Yishmael. Edom is Christians, together with Yishmael is Islam. That's the fourth Golis we're in today. Each Golis actually has two nations. So there's eight nations altogether. There's, again, the first Golis is, besides Bavel, there's Kazdim, it's Bavel and Kazdim, then goes Paras and Madai, then goes Maikdan and Yavan, and finally there's Edom and Yishmael. What does each Golis need to have two nations for? So the reason is, it's like we're saying, because really Klal Yisrael is two separate nations. Klal Yisrael has Yehuda, and Klal Yisrael has Yisrael. And each camp committed four Averis. So each camp needs to have four Golis. So together, the first Golis has two nations, one for Yehuda and one for Yisrael. So to the second, so to the third, and so to the fourth. The reason why we need Edom and Yishmael in this Golis, one for Yehuda and one for Yisrael. There's a Goyin in Shir HaShirim who alludes to this pretty clearly. The Goyin in Shir HaShirim, Perek Zayin, Pasuk Aleph, the Pasuk says, Shuvi Shuvi HaShunamis. The Shunamis, please return, but it uses a double wording. Shuvi Shuvi, return, return HaShunamis. Why did it need that double wording, Shuvi Shuvi? So the Goyin says like this. The double wording is Heimneged Beis Umos. It's against the dual dynasty, the dual nations. Kikolu umes, because every nation, Neklakula Beis, was split into two. There's Yishmael and Esav, and Kenegdom correlates to Yishmael and Esav is Yehuda and Yisrael. So you see that Klal Yisrael has two nations, and both have to return. And both are subject to a Golis, to a dual Golis, Yishmael and Edom. And what's apparent in the Goyin is that Yishmael is against Yehuda, and Edom is against Yisrael. The Golis of Yishmael of Islam is against Yehuda, and the Golis of Christianity of Edom is against Yisrael. Now why is that? Because I'll say like this, that Yishmael is a chamor. Yishmael is a donkey. It has the instincts, it has the nature, the essence of a donkey. As we know, Chazal say, Yishmael is Am Hadayim al-Chamor. It's a nation which is similar to a chamor, like a donkey. Esav is like a shor. Esav is like an axe. It gores, it causes troubles, deliberately rishes, it's tied befiv, it's sly, and it does things to do damage, to destruct. Chazal say that a chamor, a donkey, is the avi avos, is the forefather, is the source of all tumah in the world. And the shor is the avi avos hanizaken, it's the source, it's the forefather of all damages in the world. So Yishmael is a chamor, and Esav is a shor. Now, if you think about it, it works very well. We just said before that Yehuda is bitul Torah. Yehuda is because of the chet of bitul Torah. So Yehuda, the Torah, has to be subject to tumah, which is the antithesis, which is the opposite of Torah. And Yisrael is because of sin is chinam. Ah, so then, sin is chinam, that's Yisrael, so that's going to be subject to Edom, to Esav, which is a shor, which is constantly do damage, constantly hatred, constant anti-Semitism. That's what we face. So it's very well that the Yishmael goes against Yehuda's bitul Torah, and Esav goes against Yisrael's sin is chinam. Let's try to apply this. We're talking in the ear a little bit, conceptual. Let's try to apply it, Lemaisa. Where do we see the difference? Where do we see the difference between the Golis of Yishmael and the Golis of Esav today? So I'll give you a practical application. You'll be able to see it right away. Chazal say that Yerushalmi in Yuma says, a very well-known Chazal, that any generation that the Beis HaMikdash is not built is as if we destroyed it again. Right now, today, on the first day of Hanukkah, the Beis HaMikdash is in the middle of being burnt down. It's being destroyed as we speak. It's constantly being destroyed. If we would be Zeicher, if we would have the merit, it would be rebuilt. The reason why it's not being rebuilt is because we still have the underlying sins that caused us to be in Golas, that caused the Beis HaMikdash to be destroyed. And that is, like we just said, Bittul Torah and Sinas Chinam. We still have it today. So if I ask you today, who is destroying the Beis HaMikdash today? And who destroyed the Beis HaMikdash for the last 2,000 years? Who are constantly destroying the Beis HaMikdash today? Who has the dominion over the Beis HaMikdash today? Which nation? Yishmael. Why do you say Yishmael? Because the Beis HaMikdash, the area of the Beis HaMikdash is on Har HaBayis, which today is controlled by the Palestinians. It's controlled by Yishmael. So if you're talking about the area of the Beis HaMikdash, the Mokum, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, definitely the nation that's destroying, that controls the Beis HaMikdash today is Yishmael. But let me ask you a different question. Who possesses, or who dominates the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash, the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash? Who is in control today of all the precious Kelim that the Beis HaMikdash had? Rome, Edom, exactly. Chazal say in numerous places that in Edom, in Rome, they captured all our vessels and they took it to Rome. There are eyewitness sources documented that they have it in the Vatican, in the basement. It's irrelevant if those witnesses are true or not. But the bottom line is, Chazal say in numerous places that Edom controls the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. The vessel of the Beis HaMikdash is controlled by Edom. So here you have a dual Golis, a dual destruction. You have a teamwork going on between Edom and Yishmael. Edom controls the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, and Yishmael controls the area of the Beis HaMikdash. Now why is it, why isn't it, maybe it should be Fakir. Why don't we have that Edom controls the area and Yishmael to control the vessels? Well, very simple. Because I would say, where was the area of the Beis HaMikdash built? Who does that area belong to? Yehuda and Binyamin. Exactly. That Shevet Yehuda, the segment of Klal Yisrael called Yehuda is comprised of Yehuda and Binyamin. And which Golis is Yehuda and Binyamin in? Yishmael. So Yishmael is the one who controls the area of Yehuda and Binyamin. The Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, the vessels, belong to Klal Yisrael. And Klal Yisrael is subject to the Golis of Edom, of Esav. So who's going to control the vessels today? It's going to be Edom, Esav. So here we see a practical distinction.
What does the Rav say that the Kelim belong to?
They belong to the whole Klal Yisrael in its entirety.
But to Yehuda?
It belongs to Yehuda as well, but in the entirety it belongs to Klal Yisrael. And Yisrael is against Edom. Right? 10 out of 12 Shatim belong to Yisrael, so that's Edom. So you have a practical application where this distinction is that Edom controls the Kelim and Yishmael controls the Beis HaMikdash itself. Let's take it to the next step. As we know in Chazal numerous times, that Miyat Hashem, when Mashiach comes, there's actually going to be two Mashiachs. One is Mashiach ben Yosef. The Mashiach, the son of Yosef, means offspring of Yosef. And one is Mashiach ben David. A Mashiach, the offspring of David. David is the dynasty of Yehuda. So you have one Mashiach, which is from Yosef, which is Yisrael, and one Mashiach is from David, which is Yehuda. Have you ever wondered why we need two Mashiachs? Why don't we just have one Mashiach? One Mashiach can't do the job? The reason is because Klal Yisrael is split into two. And both segments of Klal Yisrael have to get out of Golis. And therefore we need one that represents Yosef, Yisrael, and one that represents David, which is Yehuda. So we need two Mashiachs. In fact, if you want to take it a step further, the reason why Mashiach is against Mashiach ben Yosef is against Esav, like we said before, but Esav has Sinas Chinam, which is against the Cheder Sinas Chinam. But actually the Pasuk says in Ovadia, which is the Haftarah of Vayishlach, the previous week, it says, Ubeis Yosef lehava, the house of Yosef will be like a flame, Ubeis Esav lekash, and the house of Esav will be like straw. The flame will totally consume straw. Chazal say in numerous places, that the koyach to conquer Edom, the koyach to conquer, the power to conquer Esav, is from Yosef. Yosef is against Esav. Mashiach ben Yosef will be against Esav, against Edom. Mashiach ben David is against Yishmael. The Pasuk says, when Mashiach ben David will come, the Pasuk Zechariah says, he's an Ani, v'roichev al-chamar. Mashiach will be riding on a chamar, on a donkey. Why does he need to be riding on a donkey? So the Mefarshim say, what does it mean to ride on something? It means you have total power, total control, total dominion. Mashiach ben David will be riding on chamar. Who's chamar? Like we said, chamar is Yishmael. Mashiach ben David will totally dominate Yishmael. Will totally get us out of Golas Yishmael. Because Mashiach ben David, Yehuda, is against Yishmael. Yosef is against Esav. Yehuda is against Yishmael. In fact, we could take it further. Because I'll say one more. I'm a Medrash Tanhuma. The Pesach says, Meshalchi regal ashar v'chamar. He will send out the feet of the shar and the chamar. The Medrash Tanhuma in Vayesha Bereishis Aleph says, what is this referring to? The Mashiach ben Yosef, shenimshal ashar. It's a Mashiach ben Yosef who was compared to ashar. Who compared him to ashar? Yaakov Avinu, when he gave brachas in Parshas Vayechi to all his kids, he compared many of his sons, many of the shvatim, to animals. And Yosef was compared to ashar. Yosef is ashar, goes against the shar of Esav. Yosef is an ox. Esav is an ox. Those are the two powers. Zelu umazel oselukim. One against the other. There's the power of an ox in a good way, that's Yosef. And there's the power of an ox in a bad way, that's Esav. And those are the fight between Yosef and Esav. Yosef eventually, Mashiach ben Yosef, will conquer Esav. And then there's the power of the chamar. Chamar is Yishmael. We know that chamar is Yisachar. But there's one other shevet, which is also chamar. And that is Yehuda. The Pasuk says, by Yehuda, what does the Pasuk say? Oisri lagefen irai. He will tie up his vine like an ira, like a chamar, like a foal, I think it's translated. It's also a form of a donkey. Ayar ben asleinis. And even the Pasuk which says, when Mashiach will come, he'll be a reichev al chamar, v'alai ayar ben asleinis. And he'll be riding on an ayar. That's the same irai of Yehuda. So you have the power of an ayar, of an irai, of a chamar, which is by Yehuda, which correlates to the power of Yishmael, which is also a chamar. It's a chamar against a chamar. Yehuda goes against Yishmael, and Yosef goes against Esav, for good and for bad. Yosef is subject to the gullus of Esav, because of sinas chinam, but Yosef will also have the power to conquer Esav. Yehuda is subject to the gullus of Yishmael, of the chamar, because of Bittul Torah, but Yehuda, Mashiach ben David, will have the power to conquer Yishmael, to conquer the Chamar. He'll be a reichev al Chamar, he'll be dominating the Chamar. So now you have, clearly, a split in Klal Yisrael. And this split has gone on since Malchus Beis David was split, all the way basically from the beginning, and the Shoresh, the start of it, really came from the brothers, from the Mechiras Yosef. There was already a split amongst the Shvatim. But it's a very important fundamental yisoid that we need to know. The Klal Yisrael has two parts, and because of these two parts, because of Yehuda and Yisrael, we are always in a dual dynamic, a dual nation dynamic of Golas. Every single Golas, even Golas Yavin, was Maitan. And now, finally, in our Golas is Esav and Yishmael. The difference, however, is, one fundamental difference is that all three Golias, the first three, the Averis that Klal Yisrael had, Yehud and Yisrael, were the same Averis. So the nature of the nations that they were in were the same. Bavel and Kazdim worked together and they were the same. Modai and Paris worked together, they were the same. They, one took over power from the other. Moikdin and Yavin were the same. One took over power from the other. Esav and Yishmael are two independent nations with independent natures because they're combating independent Averis of Yehud and Yisrael. In the fourth Golas, the fourth Avera, Yehud and Yisrael were different. One was Bittul Torah and one was Sinas Chinam. Okay, let's move on.
One question. When we're doing the math, we have 10 tribes, we have 2 tribes. We're missing. What happened? How does Levi figure into the calculus?
Okay, you have to know which part Levi is. Levi might be part of both, actually. And Levi lived amongst both. Yeah. Presumably, Levi was really part of both. And there's On an aside, someone to say perhaps that's why Eliyahu is going to bring in both Mashiachs, as Eliyahu represents Kahuna, which is Leviah, and Levi was like the neutral nation that's comprised of both, and he'll bring in both Mashiachs. Okay, fine. Okay, let's take it to the next step. There's a pasuk in the Torah that says, Leisachar shor v'chamro yachtav. One is not allowed to plow two animals together. An ox together with a chamar together with a donkey. And the truth is you can't plow two animals, it's klaim, and Ella do two animals. But the pasuk says, shor v'chamar yachtav. You now have a shor together with a chamar. The Zohar says, what is this pasuk really telling you on a deeper level? The Zohar says that when these two nations, shor represents Esav, and chamar represents Yishmael, when these two nations come together, it's going to be horrific for the world. It's tragic. These two nations, you have to be careful that these two nations should never work together. If these two nations work together hand in hand, Chamar with Aishar, that is, Esav with Yishmael, Islam with Christianity, if they work together, it's destruction, it's destructive to the world, it's terrible. The Goyin says, historically, as we know, Esav married the daughter of Yishmael. And Chazal say that when right before Esav was about to marry Yishmael, Yishmael died. He met the daughter of Yishmael, but Nevoyis, the brother of his Kala, had to marry his sister off to Esav. Why? Where's Yishmael? Yishmael died. Why did Yishmael die then? So the Goyin says, because had Yishmael been alive, then the alliance between Esav and Yishmael would have been so great, it would have been destructive to the world. So Hashem, for a taiva for us, took away Yishmael. So by the time Esav married into the family, sorry, there's no family, Yishmael is no longer there. So Esav and Yishmael couldn't have a strong alliance with each other. Because Leisachar shor v'chamro yachtav, the two get together, the two forces get together, it would be terrible. What is the reason, and I'm sure the Zohar has deeper meanings here, deeper meanings, what it means that the shor and the chamor get together. I just want to give a very on the surface, a simple understanding of how these two powers get together, why they are destructive. There's a Maram Shif in Gittin on Yudzayin Amud Aleph. The Maram Shif says that the Golis of Esav is unique, different than all other Golis. The power that Esav has on Klai Yisrael is unique, and that is that it's conditional. Every other Golis, every other tragic nation, every other tzar that we go through, unfortunately, if we deserve that Golis, we'll get that Golis. Esav's Golis is conditional on the level of learning of Klai Yisrael. If Klai Yisrael is strong in learning, then the power of Esav is weak, and Esav doesn't have a dominion on Yisrael. If the level of learning Klai Yisrael is weak, then Esav could have a power chulila on us. And it's really Medrash Chazal, many Medrash Chazals that say that it's all dependent on the level of learning. So think of it, Rabbi Yisai. Esav is really the galus of sinas chinam, of nezikin. That's Esav, that's Ashar. It's anti-Semitism. Just they hate us because we did the chet of sinas chinam. We hated each other, so Esav's going to hate us. But the whole galus is dependent, conditional on our level of learning. There's one way to get out of galus Esav, to be protected, is to learn. If we learn, then we're going to be saved. So that's a very simple solution that we have. We should apply ourselves to our learning, go to yeshivas, have sedarim, and therefore we'll be spared to minimize the damage of Esav. However, Yishmael, as we know, Yishmael is the tumah, and Yishmael goes against learning. It's a problem. It causes bittul Torah. So can you imagine when the two get together, it's a recipe for disaster. Yishmael will come along and weaken Klai Yisrael's learning level, and then now Esav could have dominion on us. It's like a 1-2 punch. If Yishmael comes in, we're weakened in learning, and now Esav has control. Had Yishmael not been in the mix, then we can combat Esav by raising our level of learning and be protected from Esav. So here you see how if Yishmael and Esav get together, it's a dangerous mix. And so too, the contrary is true, the inverted case, is Yishmael has a shlita on us, chulila. Yes, they control us and we aren't subject to their galus. And their galus is bittul Torah, true. But if we'll be oisik and gemilas chasadim, if we'll be preoccupied in kind deeds and acts of chesed, then we'll be able to sort of bespeared the galus of Yishmael. Oh, but that's where Esav kicks in. Esav has sin as chinam. Esav causes us to hate, causes us to despise, causes us to have a problem and not have achdus. Oh, so now we're going to be weakened on our acts of chesed, and now Yishmael's could kick in. So really, each one helps each other out. They complement each other. It's like a 1-2. It's a duo of a team. They have distinct essences. They have distinct aspects of their galus, but each one helps each other out to help each other have control over Klal Yisrael. Was the Gemara Chagiga on the list? Yes, okay. The Gemara Chagiga really alludes to this. Chazal like to camouflage a lot of their stuff in sweet stories, and you're supposed to try to figure it out, and it's very difficult to figure it out, and that's where the Agadah Hashas is. The Agadah is not to be meant to read literally, there's a deeper meaning that Chazal is trying to convey. Well, the Gemara says like this on Daf Hei Omer Aleph. The Pasuk says, V'hoye kisim tzeno isay rois rabbis v'tzores. When you will find, when Klal Yisrael will be in galus, and it will be found surrounded by tzores, by tragedies, rois v'tzores, difficult things and tragedies. Tzara is usually a tzara zulazu, which means a joined evils work to complement each other and cause a tragedy. And Chazal say, what does that mean? What does it mean that they're going to be surrounded by tragedies, but the tragedies are going to work together and complement each other to cause us difficulties? And the Gemara gives a mashal, a very nice mashal. The Gemara says like this, there's such a thing called a zibura and a nakrava, which I guess would be translated as a bee and a scorpion. And the Gemara says that the way to heal each one's bite is totally different than the other. They're opposite. In order to heal a scorpion's bite, you need to have hot water. And in order to heal a bee's bite, you need cold water. And the Gemara says, Chilufa sakanta, if you mix the two up, if you do the opposite, if you use hot for a bee and cold for a scorpion, sakanta, the person dies. It's a sakana. Person is, might die from it. So as long as a person has one bite, he has a way out. He has a method to heal himself. But if he gets both bites, then he has a problem because he can't use cold because that causes a sakana for the other thing. And he can't use hot because that causes a sakana for the first thing. So then he's stuck. He's been in a rack and a hard place. He has no solution and he's going to die. And what the Gemara is referring to, the Gaon says, that the Gemara is really referring to is Yishmael and Esav. Akrav being Yishmael and Zibur being Esav. And as long as you get one bite, we have a way out to protect ourselves. But when they both team up and they both bite us, we have no way to protect ourselves because this one weakens our Torah, so now we're subject to the galus of Esav. And this one weakens our Chesed, so now we'll be subject to the galus of Yishmael. So when they two team up against us, that's a 1-2 punch, that's a recipe for disaster. And the truth is like everything in life and everything in Torah, whatever we find in Tumah, in the bad, we also find a correlation in the good, in Kedusha. So if Klal Yisrael's tragedies is from Ashur and Kamar combining forces, and that will be the ultimate destruction in the world and the ultimate horrific disaster of the world, the ultimate galus is when the two combined forces, then obviously we have to come to a conclusion that the ultimate geula, the ultimate way to be redeemed, the ultimate way to combat this is when Yehuda and Yisrael join forces. Yehuda has what to offer and Yisrael has what to offer. And when they combine forces, they could complement each other and combat this galus and be zeicha to geula. That is this 1-2 dynamic, the two nations dynamic. Yehuda was always strong in chesed, but they were weak in Torah. And Yisrael was strong in Torah, but they were weak in Chesed. And if the two combine forces and teach each other and have influence on each other how to be good in both Torah and Chesed, then we'll be Zeicha for the Geula. The Mishnah Sanhedrin, Ayin Aleph and Midbeis, the Mishnah says, Pizul Rishayim, when you spread out the wicked people in the world, Hano Lehem V'Hano Leilem, it's good for them and it's good for the world. Well, the tzaddikim, when you spread out the tzaddikim of the world, it's ra lehen v'ra loylam. It's bad for them and it's bad for the world. Kinnis l'rishayim, when you gather together the rishayim, that's ra lehen v'ra loylam. It's bad for them and bad for the world. Kinnis l'tzaddikim, if you gather together the tzaddikim, it's hanol lehem v'hanol lehem. It's good for them and good for the world. What is the Mishnah referring to? The Mishnah is referring to this dynamic. If Esav and Yishmael get together, it's bad for them and it's destructive to the world. It's a Shor and a Chamor together. And if Yehud and Yisroel, if the tzaddikim of the world get together, if Yehud and Yisroel will get together, it will be toiv lehem, the toiv loyal, it will be good for them and good for us, because that will be the key to the geula. That's the game plan. The game plan is to get Yehuda and Yisroel together, and that will combat Yishmael and Esav. And really, Rabbi Isai, this is in next week's Haftarah. The pasuk says in Yecheskel, Koyam Ar Hashem Elokim, Hinen Elokeches Eitz Yosef, I'll take the staff of Yosef, the stick of Yosef, Asher Biyad Ephraim, which is the Shiftei Yisroel, Chaverev, and all the Yisroel, the Shvatim Yisroel that are with him. So now we're talking about the segment of Yisroel. V'nesati Yosef Malav Es Eitz Yehuda, and I'll put them together with the staff of Yehuda. V'asisim Le'Eitz Echad, I'll make them into one staff. I'll combine and join forces between Yehuda and Yisroel. Then I'll take Klai Yisrael out of the Goyim. There will be a Geula, will be redeemed. And they'll become finally one nation. Throughout history, we were two nations. We were two parts. And Umyet Hashem will become one. They'll never again be as two parts, as two nations. And they'll never have two kingdoms. And they'll never be defiled and be tumma amongst the exiles again. And they'll be my nation. And I'll be for them like the Rebbeinu. I'll be for them as the Rebbeinu Shalom. Means the yisoid of the geula is when you take Yosef and Yehuda and you put them together as an am echad, then Hashem will take Klai Yisrael out of Golis. And this is repeated again and again and again throughout Ma'amari Chazal. We don't really have the time. I'm going to just say maybe one more or two more. When Yaakov Avinu gave the brachas to his sons in Parshas Vayechi, the Loshon HaPasek is, Hey Osvu, gather together. Vagidu lechem Eitzah Sheyikra Eschem Be'akrat Yom. And I'll tell you what's going to happen at the end of days. He kaftzu and join forces and be one. And the Chazal say, it wasn't just he was calling his kids together. He was telling them the secret how to have an Achras Hayom, how to get out, how to have a final redemption. Gather together, hey Osu, vi Kovtsu, and with that you'll be Zeicha for a Gula. If Yehud and Yisrael will join forces, if all the Shvatim will join forces and be one, will be Zeicha to the Gula. The pasuk says, "Vayibushun Melech v'sasif Rosh Hayom." When Yeshurun will be a Melech, when they'll gather together, Rosh Hayom Yachad Shifte Yisrael. Hashem will be the king. That means he'll be, have a dominion. He'll be revealed. The Yemaisa Mirshik will be when there'll be a gathering of together of the Rosh Yom, the heads of the people, Yachad all together, Shifti Yisrael. We will all be one. And the Medrash says, this is an example, the Medrash says a mashal for this is that a king built a palace. Watch this mashal. A king built a palace on two ships. And the ships were middle of the sea. As long as the two ships are tied together as one, the palace stands. What happens is the two ships start drifting apart. The palace sinks into the ocean. It's like the Medrash, that's Prat. When Klal Yisrael had two groups, two agudas together, as long as the two will be combined as one, then there will be a palace for Hashem. And when the two ships, which is Yosef and Yehuda, start drifting apart, then the palace falls into the water, Chalila. Then the Malchus Shemaim, Hashem's palace, falls into the water. There is no kingdom. As if there is, we don't see Malchus Shemaim. We need to have the two ships tied together. And this again and again in Chazal. So Rabbi Isai, the side of all the Goliaths were against Yehuda and Yisrael. And this last Goliath, Esav, is against Yisrael. And Yishmael is against Yehuda. And if they join forces, it's tragic. And if we join forces, that will be the yisoy, the key to our geula. Just to be mesayim with a phenomenal thought. You're probably wondering, it's good for a drasha, but how does that help me? Am I Yehuda or am I Yisrael? The person next to me, is he Yehuda or is he Yisrael? Do I have to work on my Torah or my Gemilas Kasadim? Or I have to help my friend in his Torah or his Gemilas Kasadim? Who am I? We have a real identity crisis going on here. Am I Yehuda or am I Yisrael? So I want to know, Rabbi Isai, is it so difficult to figure out who we are? Who today is Yehuda and who today is Yisrael? Let's look at history. We have the benefit of hindsight. Let's look at history. Throughout history, which segment of Klai Yisrael could we identify lived amongst Yishmael? And which segment of Klai Yisrael lived amongst Esav and Edom? Which segment of Klai Yisrael lived in the lands of the Arab nations? And which segment of Klai Yisrael lived in the Western and the Christian nations? Who had the tragedies of the Golus Yishmael, and who had the tragedies of Golus Edom? Let's take a simple nafkamina, a simple application. Most recently, unfortunately, the Holocaust. 6 million Jews plus were murdered, brutally murdered in the Holocaust. Virtually the entire 6 million, other with the exception of maybe 75,000, Batel B'Shishim, virtually the entire 6 million people came from one segment of Klal Yisrael. The Germans, Yimach Shemam, as we know, if we have a Kabbalah, they are Esav. They are from the Zera of Esav, from Edom. And their Golis, that brutal Golis that we are living in today of Edom, affected one segment of Klal Yisrael, and the other segment of Klal Yisrael, Kemet, wasn't touched at all. Do you see the difference? What is it? The difference is Ashkenazim and Sfardim. The Ashkenazim are subject to Esav, are Yisrael. And the Sfardim are Yehuda, they are subject to Yishmael. Throughout history, the Sfardim lived generally in the Arab lands in the Middle East. And throughout history, the Ashkenazim lived in the Ashkenaz lands. That's what we call Ashkenazim, in the lands of Esav and Edom. The Holocaust affected the Ashkenaz Jewry. Kemet didn't affect Sfardic Jewry. Kemet didn't affect it. And the reason is because they're Esav. They go against Yisrael. Sfardim don't have to suffer from Esav. Sfardim have their own problems. They suffer from Yishmael. They have their own tragedies. So we are two distinct nations. It's Yishmael and Esav versus Yehuda and Yisrael. And Yehuda and Yisrael are Sfardim and Ashkenazim. I know this is like, wow, you know, we're saying something big, but really it's a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Avadia, which is last week's Haftarah in Vayishlach. The Haftarah ends, V'golus hachel azeh, this golus, hachel azeh, levnei Yisrael, to the segment of Klal Yisrael, where will this golus be? Where will they go out? Where will they be exiled? Asher Kananim ad Tzarfas. They will be exiled to the lands of Kananim ad Tzarfas. What is Kananim ad Tzarfas? The Mefarshim say Kananim are the Ori Ashkenaz, the cities of Ashkenaz. Ad Tzarfas, all the way stretching until France. So the part of Yisrael, they will be exiled in the lands of Ashkenaz till France. The Golus Yushalayim, and the Golus of Yushalayim, the exiles of Yushalayim, Yushalayim is Yehud and Midyamah, they were the ones who were living in Yushalayim, Asher B'Sfarad, they will be exiled to Sfarad, to Spain, to the Sfarad lands. So you have Ashkenaz went into exile into the Ashkenaz lands, that means Yisrael went into Ashkenaz, and Yehuda went into Sfarad. So you have Yisrael being the Ashkenazim, and Yehuda being the Sfardim. And to end off, Rabbi Yisai, if the Yisoid of Golas, to get out of this Golas, the Yisoid of the Gula is, the key to the Gula is that when the Sfardim and Ashkenazim join forces, when Yehuda and Yisrael join forces, let's look, throughout history, Yehuda and Yisrael, the Sfardim and Ashkenazim, really lived far away geographically. They lived in separate countries, far away from one another, had limited interaction. There was interaction, but limited interaction with one another. Very limited. And as the exile comes along, there was a movement of closer and closer until finally, after the Holocaust, now we see all of a sudden a merge of Sfardim and Ashkenazim living in the same country. In fact, even in the same cities, Ashkenazim and Sfardim live side by side. We never had the opportunity as we have now to join forces. The Golis was a long and bitter Golis, and we were segregated. We were separate, Yehuda and Yisrael. And finally Hashem is bringing us back together. Yehuda and Yisrael living as one, in one place, in one city. Throughout, you have here Passaic, and you have New York, and we have Lakewood, and you have Eretz Yisrael. You have so many, Los Angeles, you have so many places where there is an interaction between the Sfardim and Ashkenazim living side by side. It is really the first opportunity that we have that we could really fix, make amends, and fix and join forces that Yehuda and Yisrael should be one, which is really something comforting because this is really an indication that we're holding by Ikvas of the Mashiach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is causing, finally, the ability that we have, this opportunity that Yehuda and Yisrael could join forces. And if we take advantage of this opportunity, when we join forces, when we have Yehud and Yisrael together, the Sfardim and Ashkenazim together as one nation, and when we'll have the Eitz Yosef together with the Eitz Yehud of Ahoyelu Eitz Achad, we will be one stick, we'll be one Malchus, we will be the Zeicha that Hashem will take us out of this bitter and long Golas, we'll be Zeicha to the Gula Shleima B'mehir V'yameinu Amen.
Amen.
Two questions, but I'll take quickly. One is that it sounds like Ktsat Kashan, what they're going to say. The beginning of this Golos was not dual. The beginning of this Golos was Esav came in and threw everybody out. And the Shmolin shows up 500 years later. So how does Rav explain that? And maybe a speculation to add on top of what Rav was saying. You know that the connection between Esav and the Shmuel, one is an inversion of Bura and one is an inversion of Chesed. Ishmael, who is Avraham Avinu's, right, so the idea is that it seems like a tremendous support for what the Rav has said on the other hand, because we see that Sfardim haven't produced a serious scholarship in...
Let's just say it like this. Let's just say that the Ashkenazim were always known to be more advanced in yeshiva structure. Correct. Let's just say. And we also, to the Sfaradim credit, they happen to be also more known, they are more advanced in Chesed than the Ashkenazim. The infrastructure and the Chesed that's there and the way they live together in the family life is much stronger than the Ashkenazim. And this shows that the Sfaradim is Yehuda, which is stronger in Chesed, and the Ashkenazim is Yisrael, which is stronger in Torah. And if the two of us would join forces, we could help them in Torah, and they could help us in Chesed, till we become that perfect one nation. Hashem will be proud of us, and He'll take us out.
Wouldn't the ten Shvatim vanish, the law?
Okay, so that happens to be true. The ten Shvatim went into exile way before Ta'asher. However, unbeknownst to many, it was clear that the time of the destruction of Bayis Rishon, there were the ten Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara in Hori says that Lehedya, I believe it's in Davov, Hamad Aleph, the Gemara says Mavur, that all 12 Shvatim were there. Each one needed to bring a carbon. And the Mefarshim explained there's two Pshatim. One is the Gemara Megillah, Daf Yud Dalet Amud Beis, says that Yirmiyah brought them back. In the 18th year of Yoshiyahu, he brought back the 10 Shvatim to Eretz Yisrael. So Memela, all 12 Shvatim were together. So that's one Pshat, how you have all 12 Shvatim, Yehud and Yisrael, subject to all the Galis. And the second Pshat, the Mefarshim say, is that even when Klal Yisrael was banished to Asher, the 10 Shvatim, but there was a segment of Klal Yisrael that ran away and escaped that exile and moved into Yerushalayim and moved in together with Yehud and Binyamin. So yes, at the time of the Golas in Yerushalayim and Yehud and Binyamin, there was a clear representation of all 10 Shvatim, of Chelek Israel as well.
Can you tell us practically, what does Sinas Kinev look like?
Sinas Kinev looks like? Amongst us, what does Sinas Kinev look like?
How do you know? Because it's such an important thing. Why does it look like?
Well, the way we do Chesed, we don't even appreciate the level of Chesed that we could accomplish. One way is maybe you look into the Sfardim communities and look how their infrastructure of Bikur Chayilim, look at how they do Menachem Aveilim. But Menachem Aveilim amongst the Sfardim, someone recently told me that the entire community comes, you know the person, you don't know the person, you vaguely know the person. In fact, the person told me it's understood that even if the person's your enemy, you go be Menachem Aveilim. They have a stronger infrastructure of Chesed on a communal level and on an individual level as well. They care very deeply for one another. More so, I would say, actually, I'm going to talk about the Ashkenazim, but clearly they're more advanced on a very deep level, more deeper than we are. How we care for one another, how we go out of our way to help one another, how considerate are we are for one another, how thoughtful, how much we would take the initiative to help the other person without the other person asking. How much will we discern that the other person's in need and what his need is? Right? The love of Sinukim doesn't mean just, I hate you. Sinukim has many different levels. Any time that a person, if we are one, and we're like brothers, and we should really care deeply for each other. And we're not there yet.
The extended families of the Sfardim.
If you want to get, where the Sfardim will learn from, I don't know. But you want to know where the Ashkenazim can learn from, look at the Sfardim. We'll get a better understanding. Try to open up and look into that community a little bit, and you'll see that in all levels of tzedakah, of support, of behind-the-scenes support, bikacholim, there's so much going on there. Not to say that Dashkan don't have. We have, Baruch Hashem, a lot of organizations, good organizations. But the Sfaradim are more advanced than we are in this respect.
What about the Inquisition? That was under the Christians, right?
Correct. Yeah, now that needs right. That needs an explanation. That's true.
Why does it need an explanation? It fits beautifully into what Zara was saying. What, there's no kashrut.
No, because if it's Christians and we're talking about the Sfaradim, so the Sfaradim shouldn't be subject to the Christians. They should be subject to Yishmael.
The Dalits are there as well.
But Rabbi, it's the only time that they were subject to the Inquisition in the first place. The only people who were under the jurisdiction of the Inquisition were the people who converted. The people who converted to Christianity were the only ones who were from the Gutter. They had power. If you were Jewish and if you stayed Jewish, they had no judicial power over you.
You were exiled when you were thrown out.
That's a different story. That they were exiled, they were exiled. That's a different,
fine.
That's
okay.
A different reality.
When Rav brought in Kilayim and that the shore represents Esav and its strength and its Nezikim versus Hamor. Which is
Yishmael
hating the Torah, and Rav compared that Hamor to the Tuma.
Hamor is base. Hamor is primitive. Hamor is Tuma. It's a very base type of a nation. You look around; the Arabs are a very base type of a people. They represent Tuma in the world. It's the antithesis of Torah, of Kedusha.
Why are we attributing Hamor to Yehuda more than Yisachar?
Okay, so Yisachar, right. So Yisachar happens to be Hamor as well. That's true. And Yisachar, as we know, is Torah. So it's the same thing, because Hamor represents Tumah, which, and so the good of Hamor is Torah, which is both Yisachar and Yehud. It's both. It's not, I'm not taking away from Yisachar, it's Yisachar as well. But Yehud is going to be the Malchus. Yehud is the one who has the Malchus based David, who's going to be the Oisri, Lagefen Ira, and he's the one who's going to be riding in Ayor ben Asainis.
Two questions. That's the combination of Talmud
Bavli,
Talmud
Yerushalmi,
that's one thing.
How's that? How's that?
No, I couldn't mention
translating
the Yerushalmi.
But I would tell you where this comes about. There's a beautiful Hagdama by Rav Hutna Zatal in the beginning of Darkei Moshe, when they reprinted the Darkei Moshe on the tour in those blue vines, Mechon Yerushalayim. Here's a major, beautiful Hagdama, how the Shulchan Aruch was another form of Kabbalah Satira. And Kabbalah Satori needs to have the entire Klal Yisrael. And therefore, the Torah needed a Beis Yosef with a Darkei Moshe, and the Shulchan Aruch needed Maran together with the Ramah. Because in order to be one, in order to be whole, the Torah as a whole, you need to have the representation of the Ashkenazim and the Sfaradim. You need to have Yehuda and Yisrael, both in the Torah level and in the Shulchan Aruch level. It means what we call the classic source of all halacha today came from the combination, the joined forces of Yehuda and Yisrael.
The other question is, should we be against the secular Israelis who want to now make a single chief rabbi in Israel rather than have an Ashkenazi party?
Their motives are for this. They didn't come from this year.
Doesn't matter what their motives are. Hashem will have his way.
Correct. If Hashem wants, it'll happen. But if you want to know if they're correct, they certainly didn't come from here. So their motives are definitely treif, and certainly they're incorrect. And you want to know if it's a good thing for guys or maybe. And on the topic, I just want to be myself one more nakuda. We said that we need two Mashiachs because one has to redeem Yosef and one has to redeem Yehuda. But as we all know, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to be killed. Why? The reason is, I'm suggesting, this I didn't see, is because in this world, we have two distinct nations, Yosef and Yehuda. But the goal is to be a hayu la'am echad, la'etz echad, and there won't be any more two mamlachas, like the Pasuk says. There will be an eis echad, v'lo yu oid l'shnei goyim, v'lo yechtu oid l'shnei mamlachas. There'll never be two more nations. So at that point, we need to be one. If we need to be one, so we don't need then two Mashiachs anymore. Then we only need one. And that's going to be Mashiach ben David, because ultimately David is going to have the Malchus over Klal Yisrael.
What does it mean, two Mashiach? So which one's going to come for the segment of Sfarnim? One's going to come for the segment of Ashkenazim?
Actually, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come first, and before Shem say Mashiach ben Yosef is going to come before Mashiach ben David. Mashiach ben Yosef, again, there's different Medrashim, but just Bekitza, simplifying it, Mashiach ben Yosef is going to conquer for the most part Esav. I only say for the most part because it's not going to be a complete dominion over Esav. It's going to conquer for the most part. There's going to be a remnant of Esav left because Yishmael seems going to help out Esav and save Esav. And then Yishmael is going to rule, I believe the Medrash says, for 9 months. If you know what, 9 months left, that could be 9 months. It could be 9 months. It means 9 periods of time. 9 months. And then Mashiach ben David is going to come and wipe out Yishmael and the remnants of Esav, and then we're going to have the Gula Shlema. So it is going to be two parts, yes, and Mashiach ben Yosef is going to go against Esav, and Mashiach ben David is going against Yishmael.
It's funny, we always ascribe Ashkenazim to Yehuda. That wouldn't really tracing themselves back to David Amat, to Yehuda. That's like, there's only one Shevet. And we're saying that it's the opposite, that the Sephardim are really Yehuda, and Ashkenazim are the
there was always part. So to speak, intermarriages, Baruch Hashem, that was our joined forces between Yehuda and Yisrael throughout the ages. Even Malchi Yisrael and Malchi Yehuda joined forces. They married each other, right? We find Yehoshaphat with Achav, their children intermarried, but Yehuda and Yisrael. So they were joined forces throughout. But you're not saying when we trace our back to David HaMelech, you're not saying you're Ben Achad Ben from David HaMelech, right? You're not that. So not that I'm saying that the Sfaradim know their Yichus back to there either, but generally, based on what we're saying, is yes, it would be indicative that the Sfaradim are Yehuda, like the Pasuk says.
Why doesn't orchestrate that it should be in this two, if the whole problem is that it's a split, schism between the two, so why do you orchestrate it originally that it should be two separate things that all spiral off?
Well, that was the whole, there's a reason why Hashem wanted Golas and Gula. There's a whole reason for which we'll get clarity Mitzvah when Mashiach comes. But you should know, it was a process. It started from Machias Yosef as just a root, and as time went on, the split got deeper. By the first Beis HaMikdash, they were still living together in one land, right? And they still apparently had the same culture and influenced each other, that the three chatayim that they had were the same, were identical. So it means they all went off together, and they all stayed on those mitzvahs together. Already by the second Beis HaMikdash, the split became greater, and all of a sudden now they have different cultures and different chatayim. And they're no longer properly influencing one another. And then when they went into exile in two different geographic places, totally separate from one another. And that's how they stayed for over 1,000 years, and now they're starting to come back together again. So, and here, Baruch Hashem, we have in this space matter, we have Ashkenazim and Sfaradim, right?
I was wondering if this also has part of Yavan in it, because like you have universities, you have philosophy, Greek.
That is true. Every single Golas has an overlap of the other gods. Yavin just did a morality. No, they did a lot of other stupid things, right? And a lot of decrees, and they also were against Torah. And that's what Mephoshim said. There's an overlap. What we're talking about tomorrow is trying to pin down identify the source, the shirish of its essence. And from there causes all the problem. But there definitely overlap. There's Chazal that is going to be overlap from one Golas to another. Each one's going to have certain bechinas, certain aspects of all the other Golas. But which is the primary function of this Golas? Golas Yavin was Gilui Arayis, and Golas Edom is Bittul Torah and Sinas Kinyan.
That Yofes was the antithesis of what Gilui Arayis is all about.
Correct, but as we know, Greek culture is the body. Greek culture is the external. Yaft Elokim li Yefes. In fact, Yefes even called Yefes. Yavin comes from Yefes, and the Gemara says he was the one who yashin that koyek. The Gemara says that of all the languages, Yavin is the language that you could write a Sefer Torah in, according to some shitas, because his language is Yaft Elokim li Yefes. He got the beauty of Yefes. Yavin represents the beauty of the physical culture. They don't know anything beneath the surface. They don't understand anything about Kedusha. The only thing, what you could put under a microscope, that they believe in, beyond the microscope, they don't believe in. Everything is beauty and Olympics and strength, the body. So goes very well with immorality, the guf. That's Yavan.
Does Greek philosophy, which does go very deep beyond just
that has Greek gods, if that's what you're referring to. Yeah, but it's a...
Aristotle he's referring to, but Aristotle, I think, Theros is like Zarav just said, the main point of his philosophy is that everything that I do not understand does not exist.
Right. If he doesn't see it, he doesn't believe it.
So Yosef Haim Zandvelt said, brought the pasuk in Yeshaya, Tzion v'mishpat tipadeh v'shava v'tzdaka. So he says, Tzion v'mishpat tipadeh is the exact numerical value of Talmud Yerushalmi, v'shava v'tzdaka is the exact numerical value of Talmud Bavli. He said that when both Talmudim are studied in public, the redemption will come, and Brisker Rav says, the Gematria is said with divine spirit.
There you have it. Very nice. Very nice. Excellent.
What
do you say? That Apicurus was because if the Greek philosopher who promoted that idea, that was he supported the idea that you should seek gratification, personal body gratification. So everything was the body, was the.
So when Rav Helen Hamor again connected the Oski Betoira and the Shore connected the Seneschinum, the famous Gemara of Rabbi Akiva who said that he. When he was in Amaretz, he hated the Talmidei Chachomim like Hamor. That fits nicely. But then the Gemara goes on to ask a question and they give a Teirutz. And the question is not, like, what is the Hava Amina to say, or why is it not like a Kela? Hamor is against the Talmidei Chachomim, so why is it? And the parents it gives like, oh, because he's when he bites off, he's so strong, he breaks.
So that's the extreme hatred, the extreme problem against Taira is a Hamor.
But that sounds like a Nezak. That you're just breaking things.
Well, Hamor also breaks. It just means what it represents.
Kele was the reverse of Malchus also.
Okay, fair enough.
I just don't understand. What is the Hava Amina to bring a Kele?
Okay, if you're trying to, maybe a caliph also go against Torah, but not as strong. So the Gemara is saying that his sin, his hatred was so strong, that's why he took on a Hamor, because a Hamor is very extreme. But he used that as a marshal, very extreme, because that's how much he hated. But you see from that Gemara, it's a good right, you see the Gemara, the Hamor is the representation of the extreme against Torah. Very good, Rabbi Sain.
Thank you so much.
Hatzlach Rav, Kanaka.
For other shiurim by Rabbi Kahan, or for additional information, please contact Beis Din Meisharim at 732-905-3388. Thank you.